Well, hello there, guys and gals, and welcome to Trapping Across America. My name is Chip Davis, and I'm sitting in as guest host tonight. I have the ultimate privilege of hanging out with you guys for a while. I'm coming to you live from Trapperitaville South. Trapperitaville is a term that I think Clint coined several weeks ago, and I think that may be possible to be a moving target. So Trapperitaville South is about 200 miles southwest of Trapperitaville North, I think. So at any rate, Trapperitaville North may be in Dunlap, Tennessee, which is where Clint is from, and he's the one that coined that term, and so I'm kind of copying him a little bit. And I'm coming to you live from Mississippi. It's hot and balmy. It is definitely summertime in Mississippi. We've had just crazy hot temperatures, heat indexes up in the 110s, just crazy. But I am filling in for Clint today. Clint is actually in Lawrence, Kansas at the Furtakers Convention. That convention is July 7th through 9th. I'm hoping that we'll get this show up and aired while there's still some time to make the convention, maybe Saturday, maybe Sunday. I'm not 100% sure. I'm a little bit behind this. I'll explain this there in a few minutes, but why I'm behind a little. We've actually been building a house here in Mississippi, and I'm moving. I sold my house and part of my farm, and so we're going to be relocating, and I'm in the middle of construction. And guys, this is crazy. I had somebody, I think they told the truth, I told them I was fixing to build a house. They said, no, you're about to get a divorce. So hopefully it does not get to quite that dramatic, but it is definitely a stressful and busy time. I'll explain one of those real quick and then we'll get moving. My log crew is so hot in Mississippi right now. I'm building a log house, and my log crew is a lot of physical labor on the deck here trying to get this house erected. And we're making lots of progress here. We got logs laid and all that sort of thing. But we're having to start at 5 in the morning, and we'll put in our 8 hours and we'll quit it at 2 or so in the afternoon, just to beat the heat, just because it is humanly impossible to stay out here with this kind of physical requirements in this crazy heat that we've got. So that's what that's what we're doing. Well, as soon as I get done with those guys, I've also got bulldozers running and track hoes going, and I've got a dirt crew going as well, so I've got to be bouncing back and forth. So my day starts about 4 to get up and start the log crew, and it ends about 8:30 or 9, and I'm just way tired and way behind, and I don't know, it just seems like everything is in the middle of a funnel where it goes really, really fast. So that's kind of where I'm at and why I'm so late here. So I apologize to all the listeners for being behind. I do have, I think, what's gonna be a really, really cool show for everybody, and hopefully it will. But before we quite get into that, I've already mentioned that Clint said the Furtakers. A little bit about that. Clint's demo is going to be at 2:00 on Saturday. If we can get the show up, and hopefully we'll get the word out before his demo. Guys, if you're anywhere close to the Kansas area, Lawrence, Kansas area, you ought to check this out. This is so super cool. The convention's, any convention anywhere, and this is just the onset of the convention season. Guys, if you get one near you, whether it's this one in Kansas or any of the other ones, National is going to be in Kalamazoo, Michigan this year. There's a ton of state shows. There's local shows. And I say shows, conventions, rendezvous, all three of those words could be interchanged. You need to check them out. They're really, really, really cool to go to. There's just a lot of merit there. But before we quite even get into that, let's just talk about this Lawrence, Kansas show with the Furtakers. Here again, you know, Clint's going to be there. He actually is there right now. He's got his booth. Stop by, shake his hand, tell him how much you appreciate Trapper Radio and how much you appreciate what he does. Guys, all this is free. I've learned so much about trapping. I'm going to tell you probably, I don't know, 50% of what I know about trapping I've learned here. The other 50% I've learned trial and error on my own. I mean, it's all, you know, I've learned so much from this free podcast that Clint puts out. It's just unbelievable how much knowledge is here. And then if that knowledge is here, it's also at these conventions, and they go listen to the demos and different things. So we're going to talk more about that in a second. A couple of things Clint's doing here. Before we get completely off there, at this convention, he's going to have some of his CDR, his personal traps, his CDRs. He wound up, I think, as we all do without knowing, with just too many traps. He wound up with more than he can use. And he's got some CDRs there, which is one of his traps of choice, especially when it comes to animals like bobcats. Especially, he is taking tons of bobcats off those big pan CDRs. He loves that trap. I do too. I kind of follow his lead on that, and they're an awesome trap. When you equip that thing with a great big pan, like an expanded pan or his big pans that he originated, they're just an awesome trap, especially for cats and even beaver and other animals as well. I have caught coyotes in them when I've just not had my coyote traps, and I've stuck them in there when I didn't have a better alternative, and I've even caught coyotes in those traps. So I wouldn't necessarily call a CDR a coyote trap, but it will catch a coyote, because I can attest to that. I've caught multiple coyotes in them before. So it's a really cool deal. Well, Clint wound up, looked around, and he says, "Hey, you know what? I've got way too many of these things. I've got to reduce my stock here." So here's your opportunity, guys. If you're a Trapper Radio listener, if you're one of the faithful, here's your opportunity to have some of Clint's traps. He was going to have these at several shows this year. I know he's got them in Lawrence, Kansas right now. Don't know. He's taking limited numbers to a few shows around. And he's kind of wanted to spread that around to give different people in different areas of the country opportunity to buy these. They're going to be at reduced prices. They're going to have the big pans on that he installed, that he created and installed. True enough, I did come up with expanded pan, but it's only based on Clint's ideas that I heard from him. And these are the original expanded pans, even before I became involved with expanded pan. This is what he came up with, and a big pan is a big pan. It doesn't matter what it says on the label. These are the ones that Clint made himself. And I would love to have a couple of these myself, just to put on the shelf to say, hey, I've got some of Clint's traps almost. The next thing that Clint's got going on, guys, and this is huge. This is absolutely huge. The video library. If you listen to Trapper Radio the last several weeks, you know a little bit about the video library. Basically, what Clint has done is just crazy. He has taken all of his video content, and there is, I should have researched this, close to, and I may be under, I may be over, I'm not sure, but somewhere in the neighborhood, 20, maybe even more videos. I own several of these that I've bought over the years, spent tons and tons of money before Clint and I became friends. Spent tons of money on his DVDs. All this video content he is making available for one super, super low price. Right now, it's only available to Trapper Radio listeners. You've got to act quickly, and that's at a discount. You've got to act quickly on this to be able to get to, it's about to be opened up to the public. Clint did this by design, because even if you're the guys that are not Trapper Radio listeners, he knew that the show season or the convention season was about to start, and he wanted to push this there. So it's about to get to, you're going to lose the Trapper Radio discount if you don't act in a hurry. Guys, Clint and I have become friends, and we have been friends for some years now. And we bounce ideas off of each other all the time. And he may be mad at me for saying this, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it anyway. A year or so ago, Clint told me this idea. He says, hey, this is what I'm thinking about. He said, I'm thinking about, because I just tell you, he is just such a cool guy. He loves trappers. He loves the trapper lifestyle. He loves the trapper mentality, and it's almost, it's a mindset. That's what it is. That's what he loves so much, and that's why we go to the shows. That's why we, I mean, we hang out with our kind of people. Birds of a feather flock together is the old saying, and that's what makes Clint. He approached me with the idea. He said, hey, look, I'm thinking about doing this. We bounce ideas off of each other all the time. He'll ask me one, and I'll respond. I'll ask him one, and he'll respond. And so he said, I'm thinking about compiling all of my videos into one and sell them for one price at a much reduced price. And my gut feeling was, dude, you're cutting your throat. You're leaving so much money on the table. And here is his response. He says, yeah, but it helps my trappers. These are my brothers out there. Guys, that's just kind of who he is. And you can't, here again, he may be mad at me for saying this, but that's what drives Clint, is helping his tribe, helping his brothers out there. And take advantage of this, guys. This is a wealth of knowledge for just pennies on the dollar of what it would take to combine all these. Look at his website. I think his website is www.predatorcontrolgroup.com, and those that special should be on there somewhere. Or go back and I know Clint has described that special in the last couple of episodes of Trapper Radio, so you can find that there. So anyway, enough about that. We will come on. A couple of other things that I want to mention before we move completely off what Clint's doing is the business class. Guys, I'm not sure what the when or where the next business class sign up will be, but I am in Clint's business class right now, and I just want to tell you, when that's available again, and it's going to be probably several months, maybe fall. I'm not exactly sure what Clint's schedule is there. I would so highly recommend being a part of that. I've learned so much about business, about business structure, about and this is common sense, guys. This is not a college level kind of class. This is, if you'll excuse the expression, because this is exactly fitting me, this is a redneck's approach to common sense business is what he's teaching. It is solid information, and I've learned so much. And part of what this show is going to be about tonight is kind of based on some ideas that I have taken away myself from the business class and kind of gone down another rabbit trail here. So those are... those are kind of some things to be looking for coming down the pipe. It's middle of the summer now, guys, but it will be trapping season before we know it. It is coming with a full head of steam, and that's one thing about life I continually am amazed at, is this: there's less seconds in the next minute than there was in the last minute. It seems like there's less time in next year than there was last year. It just amazes me how time just seems to accelerate the older we get. So, at any rate, before we get completely off into the show, and that's what I want to do, because I'm excited about bringing you a little bit of material here that I've kind of done a little research on. But the show season is starting now. There are a lot of merits to going to these shows. The history there, I guess, and the reason it's so important to trappers and such a almost historic thing, and this is just the way I understand it. Back in the mountain man days, or back even, like, to be more specific, probably 1800s, especially 1800s, the trappers would come out after trapping season with their fur all put up for sale. Well, they would make the sale, and they would, you know, they would or barter or whatever the system was back then, and they would also have the opportunity to communicate and visit with other trappers, and those were rendezvous that they became coined as. And basically, a trapper rendezvous in the 1800s was an opportunity to make friends, to revisit old friends, to compare notes on the seasons. Because if you think about it, these trappers back then, a lot of times were almost loners. They wouldn't see anybody for months and months on end, and their only, I guess, interaction with the public a lot of times was at these rendezvous when they would come out and sell their fur, and you know, they'd learn new techniques and they'd hang out for several days. That's kind of what the shows are, except for with a lot of a modern day twist there. If you've never been to one, and guys that have been to them or go to the shows regularly, pardon me for just a second, because I know for a fact I've talked to several people that do not regularly go to the shows, and it's just amazing what people are missing, and a lot of people don't know. So let me just kind of quickly explain what happens to those there. Usually there's a slate of demos. The shows are 2 to 3 days, sometimes 4 for the really, really big ones, but most of the time 2 or 3 days. And throughout the days there will be demonstrations by the leading names in trapping, in the whole trapping world. Folks like Clint Locklear, obviously, of course. Liesl, who I had the privilege of, Ross Walter, that I had the privilege of interviewing at the Southeast Regional last spring. Wayne Derrick, I had the awesome privilege of interviewing at, I think that was actually Nationals last year. You know, Clint has had several just great interviews. Several of them come to mind. I hate to even name names because I'll leave too many people out. But they're just demos from the leading names out there, and you get to learn. And usually the demos will last 30 minutes to an hour or something, that rough time frame, and you'll get to soak up what these guys know. And it usually doesn't cost you anything. You can sit through the demos and you can learn. I've learned so much, so many different little nuances to sets and different sets, even things I've never thought about. Guys, go there, sit down, soak up, be a sponge, learn from them. They're really, really cool. And the next thing is you get the opportunity to meet other trappers and other like-minded people. The same thing that those old mountain men trappers were doing in the 1800s. You're communicating with other like-minded people. It's basically just what it boils down to. And I've made friends, got a friend in Louisiana who's a big snare guy. I've actually interviewed him, Terry. I'll give a big shout out to him. He's, I text him tonight. I've met him the first time at a trapper rendezvous. It was actually a Southeast NTA convention 2 or maybe even 3 years ago. A great guy. I keep up with him every couple of 2 or 3 days. We communicate. Most of the time it's via text message, but super, super guy. He's become a life friend of mine. Just awesome guy. You'll meet people like that yourself when you go to these things, because you can't help but just be attracted to those kind of people that have the same interest that you have. That's just I think it's almost human nature. Also, you know, at these conventions, that's where Trapper Radio gets a lot of the interviews at. You'll notice if you're a longtime Trapper Radio listener, a lot of these interviews have been requested or even recorded at the conventions. You know, just like where Clint's at now. I'm not sure. I've not talked to him if he's getting some interviews at this night. I almost bet that he probably is. There are, you know, you're around so many different people and so many leading names that's where a lot of that comes from. I actually had email just this past week from Kyle. Kyle, here's a shout out to you. Kyle wanted me to interview at, he actually thought, and I normally would have been at the Fur Takers this weekend that's going on right now, had it not been for being in the middle of this house project, which is making me pull my hair out here. But and Kyle, when Kyle had thought I was going to be there, he said, "Hey, I know you and Clint are going to be at this at the Fur Takers and also at the National in Michigan. Would you look up a guy by the name of Riley Hess and with Riley Snares and interview him?" Evidently, Kyle knows Riley, and Riley had built some good snares. I don't know him, but I tell you what, because of Kyle's interview, I'm going to look the guy up, and I'm going to visit with him, and hopefully we can line up an interview on Trapper Radio to interview him. And this all comes based on a Trapper Radio listener's request here. So this is cool stuff, and it all kind of comes together around the convention season. So that is a long-winded intro into tonight's show. As Clint says a lot of times, it's time to pull out the tweed jacket and the little beady hat. Well, guys, I'm just a Mississippi redneck, and I don't have the tweed jacket. I'm sorry. I do have a great big straw Stetson cowboy hat that's got a lot of dirt and sweat around the brim of it and around the headband. And so it's laying over actually in the corner today, so that's where it is. And I don't know what I can do to imitate a tweed jacket, but we're going to go into a little bit of philosophy here. And I'm going to keep the show as much as I can about trapping and trapping oriented, but it's one of the things that if you'll allow me, I'm a fun-loving guy, and I joke around a lot of times, but I want to get a little serious here, not a whole lot serious, but just a little bit, and talk about something that I've kind of been, it's a little deeper thought process, and I've been studying on and thinking about for some years now, a couple, especially since I started following Clint and Trap Radio, and the whole idea of, life does not necessarily have to be what is presented to us. In other words, it does not have to be black. It does not have to be white. Sometimes there can be a gray area. I've talked about this before on some Trap Radio shows that I've done. Clint's talked about this a ton, and this is kind of a philosophy that he's followed, and I absolutely agree with him. But here it is. I think that there's very, very, very few, what's my right word, subjects, issues, very few items, I'm not sure what my right word is, that a guy or girl should master life itself. This is, again, this is a really, really, really deep subject. I think first and foremost on that list is the ability to think. I know Clint has done several Trapper Radio shows on critical thinking, on the ability to think, thinking on your feet, thinking on the trap line, trying to become, or not necessarily become the coyote, but think, what is that coyote, what's going through that coyote's mind. That is critical thinking. It affects your trap line absolutely, wholeheartedly it does. It affects your life wholeheartedly. It absolutely does. I'm not going to beat that horse. We've almost got him dead. But I do think that it goes beyond that. I don't think it goes very far beyond that, but it does go beyond that. You've got to be able to think, and that's first and foremost. But beyond that, there's a few other things, I think, that really influence life. And when I say influence life, influence the ability to have a happy and a successful life. I don't think it's that difficult. I think it's only three or four or five things maybe that do that. But the next thing in line behind the critical thinking or the ability to think, which unfortunately is gone through most of America nowadays, the second most important thing, I think, is the ability to communicate. Communication, in my opinion, is part of what just absolutely makes the fabric of life itself. as is attitude and a couple of other things. But tonight's show, I want to focus on communication. That's kind of where I want to come to you from. And before I even really get started, I want to I think of a quote. When I was in college at Mississippi State University back in the late 80s and early 90s, I graduated in 91, and I remember this guy was talking, I graduated in agriculture economics, but the guy was talking about farming, and this is kind of what he said. We were in the hallway of our classrooms, and the guy's quote was, "Those who can do and those who cannot, they teach." And I kind of laughed that off, but that's really kind of echoed in my mind for the last 30 years since I've been out of that environment. Those who can do and those who can't teach. So I'm kind of in the teacher role here, and so that kind of brings me to say to you guys that I'm preaching to the choir. I need help with this communication theory here. That's one of the reasons that when Clint had mentioned to me about the possibility of hosting the show tonight, I started thinking about subjects, and I started thinking about one that I need help on myself, and that is communication. So that gave me an opportunity to do some research on communication. It's going to help me, and hopefully we're going to find something in here that's going to help you too. Communication as it relates to trapping. How is that important? Do you trap on anybody else's land where you need to get permissions from landowners? Communication there is huge. What about as you know your progress on the trap line? As you learn, do you learn through communication? You absolutely have to communicate to learn. You've got to learn from other trappers, or even to a certain degree communicate with yourself sometimes. The social media, unfortunately, I'm not a big social media guy, but that has also become a huge, huge deal, out there. And I think that drives a lot of the trappers. I mean, sometimes it seems like the pictures on Facebook and different things kind of supersede sometimes what, I don't know, I hate to say this and be critical, but sometimes what the joy that I get out of trapping, seems like you see that more and more and more often. But at any rate, so that still involves communication. You see good communication there, and you see bad communication. So hopefully we can kind of dwell on some of these. And I'll also tell you a couple of things kind of come together, I think, to create any event. So I'm thinking about the radio show, what I want to do this week on Trapper Radio. And I've already mentioned I'm in the middle of building a house. And in the middle of building a house involves concrete. And that's kind of where my frustration came from. Let me real quickly get off the construction and back on the trapping, but let me make the parallel. I've had a guy that I hired to help me with my concrete, actually do my concrete work, flat work and walls for basements. He's incredible. The guy's from out of state, where I'm getting my log crew in here to construct the house. He does great work. He is awesome. My log crew guy recommended him. I talked to him finally, and took me a while to get in touch with him, and we looked at the job. He agreed on the price, and he came and he did, and he does awesome work. His work is impeccable, bar none. The problem is he will not communicate with you, to the point he won't even answer the calls. He won't answer his phone. He won't take calls. When he's here on the job, I go up there and try to talk to him, and he's almost impossible to talk to. He's almost, I hate to use the word introvert, but he's in his own world, and he is a weird dude. You cannot talk to him. You cannot communicate with him. And it comes to the point that now I need him to do some other things. I can't communicate with him. He won't talk to me. He won't, and I don't think it's anything intentional. We get along great. It's just I paid him, and he's done his, I've been well pleased with his work and all that, but he's got a communication issue. Seeing that and thinking about what I wanted to do the show on, it just seemed to be like, here, dummy, this is like in your lap. You need to talk about this, and this is also something that you need to focus on. So that's where we're going tonight. So such a long intro, and that's kind of where we where we're coming from. Started thinking about the benefits here. You know, it absolutely relates to trapping, but also relates to things like your workplace and your personal relationship, like your wife or girlfriend or parents, or even younger teachers, or even the general public. I mean, that's where communication is everything, and you've got to be able to get communication, you know, thoughts through to other folks, and you also have to receive them from other people. Well, it sounds real simple, but communication is basically this: it's say what you mean. But sometimes we say one thing and it's perceived as something totally and completely different. So that seems to be the problem a lot of times. So what is effective communication? It's kind of summed up by a quote I heard a long time. This is from General, I think it's Douglas MacArthur in World War II. And he made, and I believe that's the right credit there. And this is all off memory, guys. So if I'm wrong on the general, I know it was a military general that said this. I think it was MacArthur. But the quote that I remember says, "Don't give orders that can be understood. Do not give orders that can be misunderstood. Rather, give orders that cannot be misunderstood." I'm going to repeat that again and let that sink in, because I think it's this important. Do not give orders that can be misunderstood, but rather give orders that cannot be misunderstood. Those are two totally different things. When I first heard this quote, it's probably been 20 years ago, I didn't even really realize that there's much difference, but there's a huge difference in those two quotes. If you give an order that can be understood, that's one thing, but it also could be understood three or four or five different ways. But if you're specific enough, then you can give the same order and it cannot be misunderstood. So that's a huge thing, and I think that kind of sums up what effective communication is. So it's really, when you start pulling that apart and dissecting that at the very, very core of itself, it's more than just words. It's words, but it's also being fluid with your words. It's also body language and facial expressions, and kind of an all-of-the-above approach even to talking and to communicating. I mean, that's kind of that's what it's about. It's everything involved with having a conversation or trying to get a point across with another person. And we're going to get really in the fine points of this as we go on. So before we do, we got to realize the barriers. There are absolute barriers to this, and there are things that are going to stand in the way. And this is all in conversation that you're having with people, and what can hinder good fluid communication. And probably the first on that list, at least in some of the research that I found, was stress or emotions, especially negative emotions and high emotions. So it's harder to communicate when you're in a negative situation. Say, like, I ask a guy, "Hey, can I trap your farm?" And he says, "Well, you're driving a Chevrolet truck, and I only like guys in Ford trucks. And no, you can't trap my farm because you're in a Chevrolet, and I only allow people in Fords." That's probably a really far-fetched example, and that could potentially rub me the wrong way. And then it becomes, when I get hot under the collar, it becomes harder to communicate with him. And so I need to be aware of that. And if I want to have good communication, and this is probably a really poor example of this, it could probably be much more pointed examples of this and much more personal examples of this, but kind of trying to keep things kind of broad stroke right here. And so what we do need to do, here's the point that we need to take away from this, is we need to realize that high stress emotions can come into play, and when we see those happening, we need to guard against that if we want to have effective communication. We need to realize, hey, this is becoming a high stress situation. Now I need to be on guard if I want to get my point to him, if I want to receive his point. So the next thing that could be a barrier is lack of focus. I could absolutely have a lack of focus in the last couple of days. We worked all the way through last weekend, including the 4th of July, and up at 4:15 every single morning to be on the deck of this house to lay logs, starting at 5 o'clock, and then those guys knock off at 2 or 2:30, but I've still got dirt crews going, so I'm going till 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. I don't have focus anymore. I'm sleep deprived right now, and I sometimes have lack of focus. I'm so looking forward to this weekend. We're going to take a day off, and hopefully I can recharge the old battery. But I need to realize if I have, and this has actually happened in the last day or two, I need to communicate with my builders. I need to communicate with my suppliers. I need to communicate with other people. The same exact thing can happen in the world of trapping, especially trapping, where you're working on hours of sleep, especially long line guys out there. You're up before daylight. You're running traps all day long. You're skinning from the time you get in till 10:30, 11, 12 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden you're right back up. The alarm clock goes off at 3 o'clock the next morning again. Lack of focus can absolutely impede your communication. So you just need to realize that, and when the times come to communicate, whether that be with your landowners that you're talking to, whether it be with your wife at night, whether it be with your children, or whomever that may be with, it's imperative to realize, hey, I don't have any energy left. I've got lack of focus. This could really hinder my communication. So long as you realize that, then you can take some steps that we're going to talk about here in a few minutes to tailor that communication effort, and you can really change that. A couple other things real quick that can be barriers is inconsistent body language. This is things like, say, and I think it kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, the stress or the lack of focus. You say, yeah, I understand you. At the same time, you're shaking your head no. Those are kind of inconsistent body languages based on what you're saying. You know, the landowner, for instance, this is just one that pops in my head. He could say, well, sure, you can trap my, you know, my place, but I want to make sure that you're not going to throw out any trash. And you could be thinking about the last coyote mess at the last farm that you just left, and you say, yes, sir, I would never throw out trash at all on your place, but you're shaking your head yes. So inconsistent body language, it kind of confuses what you're trying to communicate a lot of times. The other thing is negative body language, and this can be things like, you know, if you're not fully engaged in the conversation, I find myself doing this all the time. I'm thinking about, my mind goes 90 miles an hour nonstop. I never remember a moment in my entire life that I have not had a thought process of some description going across my head. Sometimes those thought processes were not all that wholesome. However, there's always been, in my recollection, a thought in my mind all the time. Sometimes when I'm talking and having a conversation with somebody about something, I can notice that my arms may be crossed and I might be about halfway thinking about something completely different. Sometimes I fool myself into thinking it's multitasking, but I think more than multitasking, it's showing a negative body language. Other things like that can be not having eye contact, having a conversation, but you're looking off in the distance, you're thinking about something else, even with a half a mind you are. So that kind of brings us up to a few ways that we can improve our communication skills. And those are pretty important because, you know, it's not just enough to realize where our problems are with communication, but it's even more important is how do we improve on it. So and this is kind of going back to some research that I've done, the number one skill set to become to improve your own communication is becoming an engaged listener, they say. And so what does that mean? What does an engaged listener mean? So this is kind of how my research explained this, is people, a lot of times they focus on what they should say, but effective communication is less about talking, it's more about listening. Listening well means not just understanding the words or say like the information that's being communicated, but more importantly, it's understanding the emotions of what the person that you're talking to is trying to communicate. Hope I'm making sense here, because there's a big difference between engaged listening and simply hearing what somebody has to say. When you really listen and when you're really engaged with what's being said, you'll hear the little small the verbiage or a little, you know, innuendos, I guess you would say, and what's in somebody's voice, and that kind of really comes together to tell you more about how that person is feeling, the emotions that they're trying to communicate, more so even than the words do. So when you become an engaged listener, not only will you become better to understand the other person, but you also make the other person feel like they're being heard and they're being understood, and that will actually, you know, that'll help build a stronger and deeper connection between both of you. You'll become a better listener, and they will have a feeling that you understand them, you know, even better. So, you know, a few points on, okay, I get that. So how do I become a engaged listener, if you want to call it that? Here again, this has got parallels in trapping. It's got parallels in life. It's got, you know, focuses that you can do on all that. So a couple of things: you can fully focus on the speaker, put your whole entire attention on them, look them directly in the eyes, understand what they're saying, kind of close out the outside world and understand what they're saying. That's the first thing. This is a really cool thing that I'm seeing on my notes here that I made a note of. Favor the listener with your right ear, even if you're left-handed. Try to kind of a little bit tilt your head where you're listening with your right ear. The left side of your brain and I love this stuff. I watch the show Brain Games on TV sometimes. I watch very little TV. It's one of my favorites when I do have a chance to watch TV. They explain this. The left side of your brain contains the primary processing centers for speech and comprehension, and also emotions as well. When you're in your bodies, basically your brain and your bodies are opposite. So that happens in your left brain. So you want to listen with your right ear to trigger those things from your left brain. So that's kind of one small thing. And that seems far-fetched. I know that. I understand that seems far-fetched. But if you try that, it really works. So one little tidbit there. The next one. Avoid interrupting or trying to redirect the conversation. I've catch myself doing this all the time, guys and girls. People say, I hear coyotes from my back porch. They're howling. There must be 300 of them out there. I know and you know that there's not 300 coyotes in this guy's backyard. In most places in the United States of America, it's probably 3. It may be 30 in different places. It's probably not 300 that he's listening to. But before I inject that, before I say, no, sir, no, let me stop you, Mr. Landowner. You're not hearing 300. You're only hearing 3 because they're yapping this way and the other one's yapping over that one. And the next coyote is yapping over that one. And you're hearing a symphony of coyotes howling. And you're only, I can't, you see, if I overtalk him, now that completely turns that communication off, and I basically have disregarded what he's trying to communicate to me. So sometimes it's better, as I remember my youngest child learning in kindergarten, and they kind of made the motion across their lips, zip it up, and then kind of tossed his fingers out to the side and threw away the key. Sometimes it's better to keep your mouth shut and to listen to what the other people are saying. Next is show interest in what's being said. Kind of goes hand in hand to that. Try to set aside judgment. you can learn something from everybody, guys. I don't care who it is out there. One of my best friends in the world in Missouri is actually is the same log crew from Missouri that I keep referencing here, but I go up there all the time and visit these guys. This guy happens to be mentally retarded. I quote him all the time. His name is Rodney. I learn a lot from a mentally retarded guy. I'm consider myself a somewhat smart redneck, absolutely redneck before anything else. I'm a trapper. I love what we're doing out here. I love the trapping lifestyle. I love all that is about it. I do have a college degree. I feel like I'm a little bit educated. But some of my biggest life lessons I've learned from Rodney, who's mentally retarded. You can learn something from everybody. You know, I quote Rodney all the time. And Clint can tell you, I hate to kind of really get into the details of that. But just, I'm going to leave it at that, actually. To quote Rodney, to leave it at that, I know you do. That's what he says all the time. You can ask him, you know, Rodney, it sure is a pretty day. He says, I know you do. So at any rate, there you go. I'm going to leave it there. And you can learn something from anybody, learn something valuable from anybody. The next thing on that list, and here again, we're making this list of how you become an engaged listener. And the last thing of that is provide feedback. So, Chip, you just got through saying you don't want to interrupt anybody. You don't want to complicate or contradict what they're saying, and that's correct, but you want to also at the right time in the conversation provide feedback to them. So my example of the landowner that I'm visiting with, and he hears 300 coyotes there, I'm not going to contradict him. I'm not going to say, no, you're only hearing three. I'm going to let him have his spiel, and I'm going to say, well, you know, that's a great thing. I appreciate you let me know where they are. I'm going to try to clean these coyotes up for you. So they're right here in this bottom. You know, if you're hearing them here, it's probably going to be a family group. I don't have to say the family group is not the 300 like he thinks. I may, you know, have the insight to know his family group is four coyotes or six coyotes. But I'm going to go focus there, and I'm going to provide him a little feedback. And as time goes on, I may explain you know, what he's hearing and what, you know, I hope I'm communicating this as well. Yeah, I can explain to him that maybe it's not quite as many as what he thinks. So providing feedback is important there too. All right, so we're going to go to the second thing that we can do to improving communication skills. So number two is to pay attention to the nonverbal signals. And I think this is so huge. This is more, not so much as through a podcast or as I'm communicating with you, because you can't look at me and see if I'm, what my hand gestures are, or what my facial gestures are. But this is more of a one-on-one communication, and one-on-one, this is more with your wife or with a landowner or with a fellow trapper or whatever. Is pay attention to the nonverbal signals. So when we communicate things that we really care about, we do so mainly by using the nonverbal signals. And that kind of sounds far-fetched maybe in itself, but if you catch yourself and you really examine yourself, you'll see that nonverbal communication or body language, things like facial expression or body movements, how you hold your hands or your gestures, or even your eye contact, how often you make eye contact, or your posture, or the tone of your voice, there's so many things here. Even like your muscle tension and your breathing, just the way you look or listen or move around or react to other people, that tells more about you and how you're feeling than words alone ever could. You know, developing the ability to understand and use that nonverbal communication can help you extremely help you connect with others, and it also in reverse can help you express what you really mean to other people. You know, it can literally build better relationships at home and at work and with permission and with landowners and anybody you're trying to communicate with if you understand how to do that. So a couple of tips of how you read nonverbal communication first, and you know, how you perceive that, is you want to be aware of the individual differences. So people, you know, from different countries or different cultures, they tend to use different nonverbal communications. I happen to be in the Deep South, so, you know, I talk maybe a little bit different than other people who also happen to be in the Mid-South. And, you know, the first example, this may be a really, really poor example to use on a podcast like this, but the first example, you know, obviously I have a Southern dialect, I guess. What's my right word? When I go up north, they say, you know, you sound funny. I said, no, it's y'all that talk funny. So, you know, maybe my, you know, the way I talk is somewhat different. In the South, Ebonics sometimes can be, with the black community, sometimes can be a whole different thing. Well, that's not any way close to the way that I talk. Not that one's right or one's wrong, but it's just different, even though we're from the same area. So certain cultures or certain, you know, and you can say the same words and they mean something totally different. So sometimes those non-verbals, you've got to understand the difference of the individual people that you're talking about. You know, and when you're looking at that, especially as a group. So, you know, when you're talking about more signals from a group like that, you don't want to read too much into the single gestures as far as nonverbal cues, but you want to consider that more as you perceive the whole group. Then you rely more on eye contact and things like tone of voice. If you're unclear, like, you know, in other words, you're around, say I'm from the South, you're from the North, I'm looking at more, and I'm not completely, if I'm talking about you and you're from the North, I may be looking at more things like eye contact, body language, how you react to that. These are nonverbal cues that I'm going to read off of, you know, my perception of how hopefully this is making sense here. The other thing there is how we deliver those. The first part was how we read those. The second part is how we deliver those. The nonverbal things that we match up with our words, and that's more, here again, it's the same thing, or reverse. It's some of that. So, for example, you can say yes while you're shaking your head no. That kind of gives you mixed signals there, as we talked about earlier. So you want to kind of adjust your nonverbal signals, you know, according to the context that you're talking about. The tone of your voice, for example, that should be different when you're addressing a child rather than when you're addressing a group of adults. You know, real close to that, you want to take into account the emotional state and the cultural background of the person that you're interacting with. All those are things that, another thing, use your body language to convey your positive feelings. Like, you know, yeah, I understand. I saw the coyote tracks there too. When I say yeah, and I kind of emphasize that, if you heard the change in my voice, I may hold both hands up in kind of a small shake there and say, yeah, I get that. So these are things that I can do to communicate with other people that may not know me or may be a little bit, you know, a little bit of a different type mindset than that. So at any rate, so back to my outline here, and we're getting kind of close to wrapping this up. The third skill, they're talking about keeping stress in check. Well, I'm going to stop here real quick and grab a swallow of water before I get stressed out, because I'm having a harder time speaking. Woo, that's good. That's cold too. Hold on. Alrighty, hopefully I can talk a little bit now. So, skill number three, keeping stress in check. To communicate effectively, you need to be aware and in control of your emotions all the time. That means learning how to manage stress, and even down to the point that learning how to manage stress almost immediately. So somebody can say something that completely ticks you off, and if you're aware of this skill, this communication skill here, that here's a stress level is coming up quickly, and I realize that, then I can take actions to avoid that. You know, how many times have you felt stressed during a disagreement, almost suddenly, with your spouse, your wife, or your husband, or your kids, or your boss, or anybody, friends, coworkers, whatever, and you know, and then you've said something or you've done something that you later regretted. Happens to me all the time. Again, I said this at the front. I'm preaching to the choir here. This is a lesson that I need to be listening to this radio show, not presenting it. I really do. So this happens to me all the time. If you can quickly and effectively relieve that stress and return to a calm state without anybody even seeing that spike that happens in your brain, nobody but you knows it was there, then you'll not only avoid such regrets that we've had in the past, all of us have had, but in many cases, you'll also help to calm the other person as well. I mean, it's only when you're in a calm and a relaxed state that you'll be able to know what the situation requires as far as your response and whether the other person's signals indicate it would be better to remain silent or continuing the conversation. So so the things there as far as staying calm under pressure, and here again I'm kind of following the outline that I found that I really liked. The things that they talked about doing was using stalling tactics, and this is just to give yourself the time to think. Here again, we're talking about seconds here, not minutes, but you know, you can ask them to repeat the question, you know, in other words, and here again, you're just stalling for time, or ask for clarification. So I'm trying to think of a good trapping example for this, and one's not coming to my mind, but hopefully you guys, I mean, here again, stalling tactics. So you know, they said something that you drive a Chevrolet and not a Ford, and I'm not gonna let you get there, and I'm infuriated. But before I say that, I said, so you said I drive a Chevrolet. Here again, I can, something like that. What I'm doing, I'm stalling. I'm giving myself, my mind, time to shift gears without them knowing that, and thinking of my exit strategy, or thinking of what I should say next, and thinking of that in a way that would be non-confrontational almost. The next thing is you can pause to collect your thoughts. Silence is not necessarily a bad thing in a conversation. Sometimes pausing can just kind of make you seem more in control rather than rushing to a response. That's a big one for me. Sometimes I think, and I think we as Southerners kind of, I've never gotten this completely. Sometimes people say Southerners talk real slowly, but also most of the people I know down here talk pretty fast, and they just don't talk a lot, but when they do talk, they talk fast. I think I probably fall into that category, but there's nothing wrong with pausing to collect your thoughts a little bit. The next one is try to make one single point at a time. I'm really guilty of this, and this is something that I do all the time. I try to cover 4 or 5 points, and I think it's because my mind is going in so many different directions that lots of times I will think of, I don't know, I'll try to convey more points than is necessary. If you make one point at a time, you're a much better communicator, guys. A couple other things real quickly is deliver your words clearly. And here again, if you talk fast, like sometimes I'm guilty of, you can, something real important that you say can be kind of brushed right over, rather than speaking real clearly and slowing down sometimes and maintaining an even tone. Here again, if you're in person with the communication, eye contact and body language, relaxed, you know, if you have a relaxed body language, open, using hand gestures, and you know, that's a much more clear communication strategy than otherwise. And then, and I really like this, you wrap up with a summary. You can, you know, if you make the point, here again, we're going to go back to how many coats this guy's got, and we've already had this conversation, we're going to get on his place, we're going to sum it up with, you know, this is just kind of a hypothetical here, but you know, we're going to get back here. I appreciate you telling me where you're hearing the coats at. I think you've probably got 2 family groups, maybe, just to throw something out there at this point in time. You know, of that 2 family groups, we may be looking at 10 coyotes. Of those 10, there's going to be a couple of really smart ones. I'm going to get those. But in summary, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to focus on two different den areas here. I'm going to focus on these pups first. Then I'm going to try to clean up the adults. Or wherever that may lead you, you want to kind of wrap up the conversation with a summary. Here again, I'm kind of using a trapping example to teach more of a lesson there about communication. So as far as the quick stress relief, and I'll kind of go into this real quickly, is only a few here, but I will cover these that are worthy of mentioning. When you feel that lump in your throat start rising there, or you feel that stress level happening, it's real important to recognize that and to identify that. Once you your body will let you know when you're stressed. You know, it'll be muscles tightening, or your stomach get tighter, that Adam's apple kind of clenching up, or whatever it is for you. And a lot of times it's just best just to breathe. Take a second and breathe. Realize that's happening. Take a moment, excuse me, to calm down and kind of let your, bring your senses to the rescue of yourself almost. You know, you can quickly manage that stress like that. Sometimes now you're back to the conversation. I'm toggling here between what's going on in your brain and what's coming out your mouth. Sometimes you can look for humor in that situation, kind of sometimes you crack a joke if it's appropriate. Humor is a great way to relieve stress when you're communicating. So those are kind of a few things. Always kind of keep it in the back of your mind. You be willing to compromise. Sometimes things don't have to be all black. They don't have to be all white. Sometimes they can be gray. And it's okay sometimes to agree to disagree. So, don't be so dogmatic. I love Clint's quote. I've heard him quote say it 100 times. The answer to dogma is karma. I think that's how that goes. I may be wrong on there, but maybe karma is the result of dogma. So when you look at things so much, they've got to be one way, the dogma. They've got to be this way. They cannot be any other way. They've got to be black. They cannot be white. Or they got to be white. They cannot be black. Then karma sometimes can be what corrects that. You know, sometimes you get what you sow. That's kind of the karma thing. So at any rate, so those are the first three points there. We're going to come back and kind of sum those up here. And the last point here before we quite get through, and this will be the fourth one, we're going to close with this. The fourth point for improving communication skills is to be assertive and to assert yourself. So direct, assertive expression, it really makes for a clear communication, and that can help boost your self-esteem for yourself and also even other people. It helps you with your decision making. Being assertive also means that you're open and honest in a way. It's a really helpful thing. It does not mean being assertive does not mean being hostile. It does not mean being aggressive or demanding. Assertive means you know what you're talking about and you calmly express that. I mean, that's basically what it is. So there's some of us that need help becoming assertive. Actually, this is the one area I probably am too assertive sometimes. Sometimes I need to back up from that. But there's also, I've got lots of friends who need help the other way. They need to improve their assertiveness. And so some things there would be to value yourself and your opinions. Your opinions, and I promise you this, if you're one of the guys that struggles with this, please listen to this. It's one of the things that is so, so helpful. Your opinions are just as important as anybody else's opinions. Do I even want to say this? This is a quote. My dad died some 12, 15 years ago, and he said this all the time. He says, opinions are like, I'm not going to quite say what he says, but he says, opinions are like buttholes. Everybody's got one, and they all stink. So it's kind of a good point there. So, but your opinion and your views on life are just as important as anybody else's. Nobody's is more important than yours, and yours is no more important than anybody else's. Everybody has them, and you have every right to have your opinions and to stand by those. So you got to understand that. So it's okay to be assertive with your opinion, because it's as important, but no more so than anybody else's, and nobody else's opinion is more so important than yours. You also got to know your needs and your wants. You got to learn to express what those are without infringing on the rights of anybody else. It's okay to express negative thoughts, but do it in a positive way. It's okay to be angry, but you got to be respectful of other people, even if you're angry at them in your conversation and in your communication with them. Understanding that whole thing about negative thoughts, I think this is really, really important too. You've got to be willing, if you're going to go there, if you're going to express that negative thought, then you've got to be willing to receive the feedback positively. So if somebody can come up with a solution of what you're expressing that negative thought to, then you've got to be willing to accept that. Here's an example here. I made the mention of my concrete guy, really, really hard to get in touch with. He would not communicate with me at all. This is not the case, but I'm just going to make a hypothetical here. What if I learned I was really frustrated with the guy? I was kind of expressing a negative thought through my log guy. He said, look, you recommended this concrete guy. He won't call me back. I can't get in touch with him. I'm so frustrated with him. I don't want to use him anymore. I'm done with him. I could be really angry. I could be expressing that, and I could be expressing that, communicating that in a what I consider a constructive way. And I may be blindsided, and he may say, hey, look, his wife just got diagnosed with cancer. He's been at the doctor. Then I would have felt like an inchworm. I would have felt like nothing. I would have felt so then now I've got to this is not the case. This is all hypothetical, guys. But if that was the case, I've got to be able to receive that in a positive manner, and I got to be willing to change my mind on a, hopefully this is making sense here. So, so that receiving that feedback positively, and that didn't exactly echo that point, but that was the best example that I could kind of think of off the top of my head to echo that. So hopefully that makes a little bit of sense. And then the last thing there is, sometimes learning to say no is okay. And I think a lot of guys let that get them in trouble. You got to know your limits, and you just cannot let other people take advantage of you and push you past those limits. Sometimes you got to look for alternatives so that everyone feels okay about the outcome. The trapping example that I can give to that is, I found myself guilty of this in years past. This is something I have become a lot more aware of, is I would agree to trap way too much ground. Somebody, would you come trap my coyotes here? I've got a coon problem here. I love my turkeys, and the coons are annihilating my turkey population. I'll take care of your coons. Oh, yes, sir, I'll take care of your coyotes. The next guy's, hey, these beavers are flooding my planted pine trees out. I heard you know how to catch a beaver. Would you come do that? All of a sudden, I can't finish the first coyote line before it's time. I need to pull those. I need to concentrate on the raccoon line. For the turkeys, I can't do that because I need to be over here, and I've spread myself too thin. So it's okay to realize what your limitations are and to just say no sometimes. And say that helps your communication, believe it or not. I mean, you would think that saying no maybe could become a negative kind of reaction, but really and truly it will really, really help you in the long run. So just to kind of recap, guys, and we're going to start closing this up here, but the first thing that that we talked about to improve your communication skills is to become an engaged listener. Listening and understanding what the other people have to say is probably as important, if not more so, in formulating their thoughts on how you're going to respond to them. The next thing is, you want to pay a lot of attention to the nonverbal signals. the body language, the eye contact, how you react to that, both ways, to read that from the other person and how you present yourself there. That's also equally as important. Third thing is you want to absolutely keep that stress level in check. You want to make sure that you're aware of that. You want to make sure that you can control your stress level. When you see somebody else getting stressed out, sometimes it may be better just to kind of start piping down a little bit, so to speak. Let them kind of work that out. When you become stressed, you want to avoid that, because that's going to lead to ineffective communication. And lastly, it's okay to be assertive. It's the last tip there was, it's okay to assert your opinions and assert what you perceive to be the solutions to the problem, because you know your opinions absolutely do matter too. So guys, those are just a few things that can kind of help you with communication. Here again, I think to sum this way back up, I think there's only just a handful of things that really make successful people. This is something I've been studying, something that kind of got spurred on through the business class, that there's only just a handful of things, I believe. Critical thinking is one of them. Communication, now we've kind of talked about this, is another one. It helps you in your trapping. It helps you in your home life. It helps you in your professional life. It helps you just in life in general. So hopefully we were able to present something here that would help some guys out, and hopefully you have some takeaways here that you can use in your trapping. I know this is not how to set a dirt hole or how to set a flat set, but it's kind of getting a little bit deeper. But you were warned at the onset of the show, this is more of a philosophy kind of thing, and hopefully we also included enough, you know, trapping parallels here that we stayed on target. So that's the show, guys. And any feedbacks, you can holler at me, contact me. The easiest way to get in touch with me is through my website at www.expandapantraps.com. There's links there to my email. You can drop us a line if it's something that we can help you with further there. Clint should be back next week, as far as I know, with Trapper Radio. Hopefully we have time to get this up and aired. I know it's going to be late. It's probably not going to be Friday night before this airs, because it's just not going to be enough time to get this edited. And I am in a camper at the job site where we're building this house. So actually, if I think about it, I'm able to pull that off. We took several really cool drone photos today. I'll mention that real quick before we close, but my builder has a drone that is just a photo, takes photography. I flew this thing up here. If I can get this done, I'll show you an overhead view of the camper trailer that I'm recording this Trapper Radio show out of. But a couple of things real quick just to provoke some thoughts here that I saw today, that when he showed me what he can do with his drone, and he can go to different locations like this camper trailer. It can show the house site right up the hill here. It can show my entryway. Why can it not show all of my coyote sets? And I can go and fly over with a drone where these coyote sets are pre-programmed in here, and I only got to go back and visit the sites that I've caught coyotes on. I think that's got incredible applications. Not to get on a completely new topic on this radio show, but just kind of a little thought provocative kind of thing to be thinking about there. So, all right, guys. Hey, look, it has been absolutely my pleasure to hang out with you again for another one of these Trapper Radio shows. Trapper Radio listeners are the absolute best. I just love it when I have the opportunity, like I did tonight, to hang out with you guys for a few minutes and talk to you about some stuff that hopefully is relevant and hopefully you can pick up something up from. Clint should be back with you next week. Until then, guys, this is Chip. I'm signing out for Trapper Radio. Get ready. Trapping season's coming. Be ready to go hard. Learn all you can do, and good luck to you between now and next week. See you guys. Thanks a bunch. I
I see the sunrise creeping in. Everything changes like the desert wind. Here she comes and then she's gone again.